Describes Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Some of these chapters are quite elaborate and some are short. Anyway, yesterday we covered up to 14th chapter out of 2 sessions. So today we will start from the 15th chapter. The 15th chapter describes 15th chapter of the 10th canto describes Balaram killing Dhenukasura. Most of the demons were killed by Krishna in Vrindavan. Yesterday we also discussed that Krishna never kills the demons. It is Vishnu in the body of Krishna that kills the demon, because killing demon is not Krishna's business. Krishna is Leela Purushottam, he is Anandamaya Bhasa, he is just, his business is only to enjoy and give pleasure to his devotees. He doesn't want to do with the demons. So that is Krishna's special prerogative. But still, Krishna apparently kills the demons in Vrindavan, and some demons are killed by Balaram. So, one of the demons that Balaram killed is, this Dhenukasura. Dhenuka means ass. Asses are very famous for their stupidity. We always say that if somebody is like an ass, that means he is very stupid. And how stupid the asses are? They carry big burden just for a handful of grass. There is plenty of grass everywhere, but as, because it's an as, thinks that unless he carries a big load, he won't have any food to eat. So in this way, this Dhenuka Sura is also symbolic to the materialistic people. The materialistic people, please don't mind it. What do they most of the time do? They work from morning till night, thinking that if they don't work, they won't get their food. They carry, asses carry big burden, thinking that unless it carries this big burden, it won't get any food. And who is Balaram? Balaram is Guru Tattva, the original spiritual master. So Balaram kills this ass demon who is the tendency to unnecessarily carry the burden just for the sake of our maintenance. Actually, our time and energy should be utilized for what? Our time and our energy should be utilized to develop Krishna consciousness. Should be utilized to develop our loving relationship with Krishna. But unfortunately, in the material nature, due to our conditioning, what do? We simply think that we have to work. And everyone is engaged in this unnecessary activity. And the society also has created, Maya has made a very nice arrangement. Maya's arrangement is also that unless you work work so hard, you won't be able to maintain yourself, especially in the Western countries. And India also is following suit. Life has become so expensive that unless and until you work hard and earn the money, you won't be able to maintain yourself and your family. But what does the spiritual master say? Why are you wasting your time? Just offer this life to Krishna and see how Krishna will maintain you. After all, who is maintaining you? Is your boss maintaining you? He is simply maybe giving you some money at the end of the month. But where is the food coming from? Is the boss producing the food? No, the food is produced by Krishna's mercy. Krishna gave the rain, Krishna gave the seeds, and as a result of that, and Krishna gave the fertile land, and as a result of that, we are getting the grains and fruits and nuts and grass for the milk, cows. So a thoughtful person will consider, why am I wasting my time just working so hard? Just to maintain my family. Therefore, Krishna consciousness movement is going to bring about a revolution in the world. The revolution will be inducing everybody to stop working like an ass just for the sake of survival. Let's go back to the villages. Let's cultivate land and let's lead a happy Krishna conscious life in the serene atmosphere of the countryside. Anyway, so one day the cowherd boys, while grazing the cows and playing in the field, they became very hungry. And some of Krishna's friend, Subal, Sridham, Boshudham, they say, look, nearby there is a forest of tal fruits. There is a talma, a forest of tal fruits. tal trees, and the whole place is filled with tal fruits. All the trees are filled with tal fruits, let's go and eat those fruits. But some other boys reminded them, no, don't go there, because that forest is protected by Dhenukasura. And if you go there, though Dhenukasura doesn't allow anybody to enter into the forest. But some other boys said, no, we are very hungry. We don't care about Dhenukasura. Krishna and Balaram is with us, so why should we be afraid of anybody? And Krishna also felt inspired by this praise. They said, yes, when I am here, who can do anything to anyone? Let's go. And Krishna and Balaram went into the forest of tal trees, and Balaram is so powerful that he held that fruit trees and started to shake them. And as a result of that, all the tal fruits started to fall from the trees, making a thudding noise. And Dhenukasura heard this noise, and he came out thinking, who is causing this? Who dares to enter into my forest? And so Dhenukasura came and he saw Krishna and Balaram. So Dhenukasura attacked Krishna and Balaram. The donkeys generally try to hit with the hind legs. The donkeys and horses, they kick with the hind legs. So Dhenukasura tried to kick Balaram with his hind legs. But what did Balaram do? Balaram just grabbed his feet and he started to swing him over his head. He swung him for so many times that Dhenukasura's life air left him. Just because of Balaram's swing. And then Balaram let his body fly. And Dhenukasura's body fell on the tal trees, and so many tal trees got broken due to his falling on the tree. Then Dhenukasura's associates came running and they attacked Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram killed all those demons. So in this respect, this point actually came up, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Krishna Samhita mentioned that different demons are actually different anarthas in our hearts. So what is the symbolism of Dhenukasura? Who is represented by Dhenukasura? What kind of attitude, what anartha is represented by Dhenukasura? The anartha of unnecessarily carrying the burden of and not offering the fruits of our activities to Krishna. The fruits, who should we offer the fruits? Should we enjoy the fruits of our action? No, that is called karmic activity. But what is devotional service? The fruits of our actions are offered to Krishna. People are working hard, making so much money, but what they do? They put their money in their bank, thinking that this money will be needed for their safety for the future, for the security of their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-great-great-grandchildren. So in this way, people save their money. But is anyone safe in this world? When death comes, can all the money in the bank save you from dying? Therefore, what is the intelligent thing to do? The intelligent thing to do is to offer the results of our actions to Krishna. And then Krishna will give us all the protection. Offering the results of our action to Krishna means devotional service. And who inspires us to become engaged in devotional service? Shri Gurudev Balaram, original spiritual master Balaram. And the spiritual masters are the representatives of Balaram. So, Krishna and Balaram would perform their pastimes in this wonderful way, and this cowherd boy would go back home and tell their stories, what they have done throughout the day, to their father and mother and others at home. Sometimes they would believe, sometimes they wouldn't believe. They would think, well, these children, they're fabricating some story. But at the same time, they would also feel that Krishna and Balaram are not ordinary persons. Some thought sometimes that Krishna and Balaram are some demigods from heavenly planet. And some thought Krishna and Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, the residents of Vrindavan were always absorbed in thinking about Krishna's pastime along with Balaram and his other friends. One day, when the cows were grazing and they came to Jamuna and drank the water of Jamuna, they died. And so everybody ran to Krishna, "Krishna, the cows are dead. My cow, our calves are all dead." Krishna asked, "What happened?" They said, "They drank the water from Jamuna and they died." So Krishna figured out that the serpent Kaliya is so poisonous that just his presence in Kaliya Rag, in Jamuna, caused the entire river to become toxic, become poisonous. So Krishna decided to chastise Kaliya. So Krishna just, but first of all, Krishna just glanced at those cows and calves and they all came back to life. Krishna, just by glancing at them, could bring them back to life. So then Krishna climbed up on a kadamba tree on the bank of Jamuna. And he tightened his waistcloth. Before jumping, he tightened it and he took his chadar. The chadar hangs over the body, but Krishna, in order to prepare to fight, he took the chadar and wrapped it around his waist and he tightened it, and then he jumped from top of the tree into Jamuna. And he started to play in the river, creating a lot of waves and sound. So Kaliya became disturbed. Who is doing this in the river? So he came out and he found that it was this one boy. So Kaliya started to bite him. And then Kaliya, with his huge body, coiled around Krishna, wrapped him in his coil. And it seemed that Krishna is dead. So, the news reached the residents of Vrindavan. They were already observing some inauspicious signs. So they started to wonder that something must have gone wrong somewhere. Those inauspicious signs are trembling of the body on the left side of the body. During the daytime, the jackals are howling. And all these were the bad signs. And the animals were running in the left side. So seeing that, they all became very worried. And then the news came that Krishna has been attacked. So all the residents of Vrindavan came running to the bank of Jamuna. And they saw that Krishna is coiled in Kali as by coil. Krishna is within, wrapped around Kali. Kali has wrapped Krishna's body with it. And so, and Krishna appeared to be lifeless. So, seeing that, Mother Yashoda just fainted. Nanda Maharaj wanted to jump into the river and rescue Krishna. And so did other Brajavasis. But Balaram stopped him. Balaram said, "Don't do that. There's no need. Krishna will take care of himself. Don't worry." And seeing that his devotees, his father and mother and other residents of Vrindavan are in such anxiety, such distress, then Krishna decided to do something. So what did Krishna do? Krishna started to expand his body. You see, Kaliya wrapped around Krishna, coiled around Krishna's body. And when Krishna's body started to expand, then what happened? Kaliya's body started to get expanded. And Kaliya was in extreme pain. His whole body was bleeding. And so he let, in that pain, Kaliya couldn't tolerate anymore, he let Krishna go. Then Krishna jumped up on Kaliya's head and he started to kick Kaliya's. Kaliya had 1,000 heads. He was a 1,000-headed, 1,000-hooded serpent. He was one of the sons of Padru and Kashyap, the original Nagas, original snakes. So Krishna started to, it seemed that Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's. So yes, Krishna was dancing. He was jumping from one head of Kaliya to another head. In this way, he was just going from head to head, one head to another head of Kaliya. But what did Kaliya feel? Kaliya was feeling the 1,000 thunders were falling on his head as Krishna was stepping on his head. And Kaliya was about to die. So at that time, Kaliya's wife, Nagapatnis, they came out and they started to offer prayers to Krishna, admitting that their husband is very cruel, very sinful, very envious. But after all, he is their husband. So they appeal to Krishna, "Please let him go. We know that he is very sinful, but you are so merciful, so please allow him to continue to live." So Krishna, after hearing the prayers of the wives of Kaliya, Krishna decided to let him go. And Krishna said, "Okay, but you cannot stay in Jamuna. You go into Ramanath Island. And there you live there." And Prabhupada mentioned that this Ramanath Island is the Fiji Island, which is in the Pacific Ocean, next to about 2 hours flight from Australia. Beautiful island. And there we have, Prabhupada actually installed a Krishna Kaliya temple. That's the only temple where Krishna is on top of Kaliya's head. The deity is Krishna Kaliya. So after hearing this incident, Parikshit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami that why did Kaliya leave the island of the snakes, which is very beautiful, and all the snakes are there. Why did he leave his own home and came to Jamuna, came to live and reside in Jamuna and polluted the whole atmosphere there. So then Shukadeva Goswami, in answer to that question, narrated to him the story, the incident, that Garuda's food are snakes. Garuda had some animosity with the snakes. That's another story that we can discuss some other time. Garuda had a natural animosity with the snakes. Therefore, Garuda wanted that the snakes would become his food. And this boon was granted by Brahma. So the snakes became Garuda's food. So Garuda used to go to this island of the snakes and he used to kill many, many snakes. Some snakes he used to eat, but many other snakes he used to just unnecessarily kill. So the king of the snakes, Nagaraj Vasuki, appealed to Garuda that please don't kill the snakes like that, but we will offer you a snake once every month, on the half moon day of the month, when the moon becomes half, on that day, under a tree, a snake will be there as your food. So Garuda accepted. But Kaliya, who was also a very powerful leader of the snakes, Kaliya, he did not want this arrangement. So he thought, why should we be afraid of Garuda? I am so powerful, I can deal with Garuda. So being so arrogant and proud, Kaliya started to eat the snakes that was offered for Garuda. So Garuda became very angry and one day he attacked Kaliya. A big fight ensued between Kaliya and Garuda. Kaliya became very puffed up because of his stock of poison and physical strength. But he was no match for Garuda. Jai Shishi Panchatattva Ki. He was no match for Garuda. After all, who is Garuda? Garuda is the carrier of Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that fight, Garuda started to hit Kaliya with his golden wings. Kaliya tried to bite him, but Garuda just smacked him with his wings. Garuda is so powerful that he fought with the demigods. And when he needed to take the nectar to release his mother. So Garuda took the nectar and when he was flying away, all the demigods attacked him. But they couldn't stop Garuda. They were no match for Garuda. Indra released his thunder. But even thunder couldn't do anything to Garuda. He was so powerful. So, but Garuda, recognizing the fact that thunder, Vajra, was made with the bones of Dadichi Muni, a great sage, to show respect to Dadichi, Garuda just let one feather fall just because of being struck by thunder. He wanted to show respect to Dadichi. So this is how powerful Garuda is. So what is Kaliya? What kind? It's nothing compared to Garuda's strength. So Kaliya then ran away from that place. And he came and took shelter of Jamuna. Why Jamuna? Because Kaliya knew that Garuda also used to go to Jamuna to eat fish. At that time, a great yogi, Saubhari Muni, was meditating under water of Jamuna. And when he saw that Garuda was killing the fish, so Saubhari Muni cursed Garuda that if he ever came to Jamuna, then he will die. So because of that curse, Garuda did not go to Jamuna, that part of Jamuna. So knowing that, Kaliya knew that, that's why he took shelter of Jamuna, so that Garuda won't be able to come and attack him. So that was this had another aspect. Saubhari Muni, because he unnecessarily cursed a great devotee of the Lord, Garuda, Saubhari Rishi lost all the benefits of his austerities for thousands of years. Just by seeing two fish were copulating, Saubhari Muni became agitated with sex desire. And he came out of the water and got married to not only one wife, many, many wives. So, this is the danger of unnecessarily creating animosity with the devotees. Anyway, in this way, Kaliya was chastised. Then one day, one friend of Kamsa, a great, powerful, very powerful demon called Pralambasura, came to kill Krishna and Balaram. He thought that, well, Krishna is very powerful. From Kamsa, he heard that Krishna is killing all the demons that have been sent by Kamsa. So Pralamba thought that he would not fight with Krishna, but he will kill Balaram. And if Balaram would die, then in separation of Balaram, Krishna also will die. So this is how, making a plan, Pralambasura came to Vrindavan. He disguised himself as a cowherd boy. And they were playing. Krishna recognized that this is a demon. Krishna told Balaram, Balaram, I didn't see this boy before. Who is that? And then they could recognize that this is not a newcomer in Vrindavan, but this is actually Pralambasura, who is disguising himself as a cowherd boy, intending to harm them. So Krishna told Balaram, okay, we will take care of him. So Krishna made arrangement that there would be two parties. The cowherd boys were divided into groups. Krishna's group and Balaram's group. And this Pralambasura was included in Krishna's group. And the condition is that they would fight. One group would fight with the other group. And in that fight, the group that will lose will have to carry the winner on their back. So in that fight, Balaram's group won. Krishna's group lost. And Pralambasura took the opportunity to take Balaram on his back. So he carried Balaram on his back, and he thought that he would run away, take Balaram far away to some distant place, and then he would kill Balaram. So Pralambasura just picked up Balaram and he started to run away from that place. So all of a sudden Balaram saw that this boy, instead of taking him in a circle, is taking him away from all his friends. So Balaram started to hit him on his head with his fist. Now can you imagine Balaram's punch, how powerful it is? Pralambasura, actually Kaliya felt that hundreds of thunder was falling on his head when Krishna was jumping on his head. Now Prahlada felt that thousands of thunders were falling on his head, so he couldn't tolerate this pain anymore. So he just assumed his gigantic demoniac form and started to run with Balaram on his back. But as Balaram started to hit him on his head, Prahlada fell dead. So this is another demon that was killed by Balaram. So in this way, they were performing their pastimes in Vrindavan, happily engaged in tending the cows, tending the calves. These are Krishna's Govinda Leelas. Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is divided into three sections. Govinda Leela, Govinda Leela, and Kaishor Leela. So from up to 5 years is Kaumar, from 6 to 10 is Govinda, and 10 to 15 is Krishna Kaishor Leela. So in this Govinda Leela, they used to, when they were 6 years old, 5-6 years old, they were tending the calves, taking them to the forest and taking them to the pasturing grounds in Vrindavan, and they were tending the cows, and they would let the cows, let the calves graze, and they would play in the forest. So one day, when they were tending the calves, all of a sudden they found that the calves are not there. Actually, the calves, in search of green grass, they just drifted away to a distance. So Krishna and Balaram, along with the cowherd boys, started to look for the calves. And while they were searching for the calves, all of a sudden they found themselves surrounded by a forest fire from all directions. Generally, the forest fire comes from one side, but this was a forest fire that came from all sides, and they found themselves trapped in the middle. And the cows started to scream out of fear. And cowherd boys ran to Krishna, "Krishna, Krishna, save us, save us. This forest fire is going to burn us to death." Because it was described that just as somebody riding on a chariot moves, this forest fire riding on the chariot of wind was moving with a tremendous speed. And they were coming closer and closer and closer to all the cowherd boys and the calves. So they just appealed to Krishna, "Krishna, Krishna, please save." So Krishna said, "Okay, close your eyes." So they all closed their eyes. And in no time, Krishna just swallowed the forest fire. And when they opened their eyes, they found that forest fire is gone. And they were all very amazed to see this wonderful ability of Krishna. That he just swallowed the forest fire. He just extinguished the forest fire in a wink of an eye. So then came the monsoon season. In summer, the whole atmosphere of Vrindavan became very, very hot. At least in India, you get an experience how it is in summertime. It gets very hot, very dry. And the trees and plants just become dry. But then comes the rainy season. And when the rainy season, when the rains fall, then the heat of the summer disappears and the plants and vegetation come back to life. They all become lush green again. So, the 19th chapter, I'm sorry, 20th chapter is describing the forest, describing the monsoon in Vrindavan, Varsha Ritu. Now in India, there are six seasons as opposed to four in the West. In the West, there are only four seasons. Summer, spring, autumn. Summer and spring and autumn and winter. And there, in autumn, the leaves fall. Then in winter, the whole place becomes covered by snow. And then comes spring, when the snow melts and the new leaves start. Everything starts to become green again, alive again. And then comes summer, when the whole atmosphere becomes very, very beautiful with flowers and green vegetation and the fruits in the trees. But in India, there are two extra seasons. Or in Vrindavan, there are two extra seasons that is not present in the West. Those two extra seasons are Varsha, monsoon, and Sharad. Sharad Ritu. After monsoon, the whole place becomes very, very clean and beautiful. At the time of monsoon, along with thunder and storm, comes the cloud, and then there is a shower of rain, and it rains, purifying the whole atmosphere. But during monsoon season, everything becomes quite muddy. The water becomes, although the reservoirs of water become filled with water due to the rain, but this water becomes very muddy. The whole place becomes full of mud and dirty, apparently. But then comes Sharad. During the Sharad season, the dust and mud sediment. They sediment and the water becomes very, very clear, crystal clear. And at that time, the sky becomes completely free from cloud. Because of the monsoon, the rains exhaust the cloud, and then during Sharad season, the sky becomes completely clear, it becomes blue, and then we see some floating cloud that looked like cotton wool. There is just some sky, the sky is not completely blue. It is bluish because of the clear atmosphere. It becomes very blue, but there is some very sparkling white cloud that floats. And the sun's ray at that time become very golden, very bright. And the whole atmosphere becomes very jubilant. So this Sharad is one of the most beautiful seasons. These two seasons are the most beautiful, Sharad and spring. Sharad and Vasanta. Now, this has some significance to us as well. This monsoon cleanses our heart, which has become dry and dirty due to our impersonalistic materialistic attitude. Jaya Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki. जय श्री श्री राधा माधव की जय। मिथिक एंड भक्ति विनोद ठाकुर डिस्क्राइब विषय वासना नले मोर चित्त सदा जले रवि तप्त मरुभूमि। Due to the intense material desire for sense gratification, my heart was constantly burning as if by the scorching rays of sun. A desert in a scorching rays of sun. Robi tokto morubhuj. So that is our normal condition. Materialistic way of life is very, very painful, very miserable, very dry, and very dirty. In the summer season, one becomes very perturbed, very disturbed. Similarly, our materialistic way of life causes our heart to burn constantly due to suffering or due to materialistic attitude. Mor chitta sada jale rabi tapto moru. But then, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get Krishna the process of Krishna consciousness. And we start to practice it. This practicing stage is the stage of Vaidhika. And in this Vaidhibhakti stage, our heart starts to get cleansed. The heart starts to become Cheta Darpana Marjanam. Our heart starts to become cleansed. But this cleansing process causes a lot of dirt to come out from the heart. So when we start our devotional service, we go through various difficulties. And Prabhupada assured that don't worry about that. Because when you are cleaning a room, some dirt will fly. Prabhupada gave the example that a room has been sitting there for many, many years. Nobody entered in the room. There is a thick layer of dust in the room. But you don't see the dust. It's all settled. But then you take a broom and start to clean. What happens? When you start to clean, then all the dirt begins to fly. So similarly, when we start our spiritual life, some dirt will fly. But nothing to worry about. But what is happening is that the dry heart is now becoming filled with the nectar of Krishna consciousness. So the heart is experiencing the shower of Krishna consciousness, the nectar of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, this is how, through the practice of devotional service, our heart becomes purified, and as a result of that, when the heart becomes purified, there may be some dirt, some mud, some undesirable thoughts and elements in the heart. But it is a process of cleansing. But then comes autumn, when all the dirt has settled, heart has become clean. The cloud of the modes of material nature is not affecting us anymore. The sky has become crystal clear. And then the rays of Krishna consciousness shines with golden beams. So then what happens? At that time, Krishna plays his flute. So, Krishna plays his flute, and by hearing the flute, the gopis become very, very perturbed. All the gopis become very perturbed. They all want to see Krishna. They want to be with Krishna. They want to meet with Krishna. And the effect of the chanting, the effect of Krishna's flute has been described in this chapter, in chapter 21. Such beautiful effect is the most beautiful thing that one can ever hear. And when Krishna plays his flute, everyone becomes affected by that. And that has been described very beautifully in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not only the gopis become agitated or excited to meet with Krishna and Balaram, they want to run and be with Krishna. And they talk to each other. That, you know, when Krishna and Balaram goes to the forest with their cows, Krishna's shining yellow dress and Balaram's bright blue dress stand out as the most beautiful colors in all three worlds. And look what is happening now that Krishna is playing the flute. We can't just stay peaceful anymore. We are becoming, our heart is completely agitated. We do not want to do anything that we are supposed to do. The things that were supposed to be our duty, so important duty at one time, has become completely meaningless now. Now we want to drop everything and just run to meet with Krishna. And not only the gopis felt that way, the rivers, which are considered to be the mother of the tree, they felt very proud that, oh, one of our son, a bamboo with which the flute was made, has become so fortunate that he is constantly drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips. And gopis also felt that way. They became envious, proudly envious. Oh, look how fortunate this flute is, that it is drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips, which we are hankering to have the touch. Constantly drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips. And see how that nectar is flowing in all directions. The bamboo tree felt very proud. Oh, it is one of our family members who has become so fortunate. So our whole dynasty, our whole bamboo clan has become blessed. That one of our boys have achieve this good fortune of drinking the nectar from Krishna's lips all the time. And now when the trees heard the flute, sound of flute, they became ecstatic. And how did they show their ecstasy? They started to drip honey. Generally, honey comes from honeycomb. But in Vrindavan, just by hearing Krishna's flute, the trees start to drop honey as an expression of their joy. Expression of their joy. And the stone melts. Hearing the flute, the stones that are solid, they melt and they started to flow. And Jamuna stops to flow
and Yamuna becomes static. The wives of the demigods, along with the husband, they're flying through the space, flying in the sky. And when they heard the sound of the flute, the wives of the demigods, although they are extremely fortunate to have the demigods as their husband, they became attracted to Krishna. And they developed lusty desire to be united with Krishna. And at that time, hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, the peacocks start to dance. The peacocks become mad and they just start to dance, forgetting everything. And seeing that, the peacocks dancing, everything in Vrindavan just becomes stunned to see this beautiful dance of the peacocks. The cows, their long ears, they extend their long ears. They cock their long ears as if they're trying to drink the nectar of Krishna, sound of Krishna's flute through their ears. And the calves were drinking their mother milk with the nipples of the cows on their mouth. They just stop to drink. They forget to drink the milk of their mother, the calves, and tears come streaming down their eyes. And in this point, Prabhupada is saying that even the calves were embracing Krishna in their hearts. And as a result of that, the tears were coming from their eyes. Tears were streaming down their eyes. And the birds, they listen intently to the sound of the flute. The birds, generally they fly, but now they stop flying. They just sit there, they're perched in the trees. They cock their ears to listen to Krishna's flute. Just as an exalted saintly person wants to listen to Krishna's pastimes as they have been described in the Vedic literatures. So in this way, the whole of Vrindavan becomes transformed in this wonderful effect, due to this wonderful effect of Krishna's flute. So this is how the atmosphere of Vrindavan got prepared for the rasa dance, which is the height of Krishna's loving exchange with his most intimate devotees, the gopis. So Prabhupada cautioned us repeatedly that before we enter into Krishna's intimate pastime, especially his rasa dance, we have to be very, very careful about that exchange that Krishna has with us, because it may appear to be like a sexual attraction between a young boy and a young girl. But Prabhupada mentioned that to enter into the spiritual sky, one has to be completely free from sex desire. Not to even enter into Vaikuntha. But even if one wants to merge in Brahma Jyoti, which is the outer precincts of outer part of the spiritual sky,
the effulgent of Krishna's body. Even to enter into that region, that means to get out of the material nature and enter into spiritual nature, one has to become free from sexual. Even those who are aspiring from Brahman river, Brahma Sajuche, liberation of merging in Brahma Jyoti, even they have to become free from sex desire. So the point is that there is no room for sex desire in the spiritual side. There is no room for any such sense gratifying tendencies in the spiritual side. The spiritual sky is devoid of these sense-gratifying tendencies, and it is only completely spiritual experience. Krishna's activities are completely spiritual. And devotion to Krishna, developing love for Krishna, is actually a matter of a spirit soul's hankering to be united with the Supreme Personality of God, who is the shelter and source of all the spirits. So Krishna is the origin and we all are His parts and parcels. So our business is to develop that love for Krishna, and that love is the force that unites the soul with Krishna. Every living entity, every spirit soul has this particular energy called love. What is the function of that energy? The function of this energy is to unite the soul with Krishna. But when a living entity is forgetful of Krishna, then this love is pervertedly reflected in the form of lust. And that lust is the cause of sex desire. So it's a completely it's nothing but a perverted reflection of a living entity's spontaneous and inherent love for Krishna. It is projected in the material nature in the form of lust. Atmendriya pritibancha tare bolika krishnendriya priti ichha dhare prem. The desire for gratifying our senses is called lust, kama. But the desire to gratify or give pleasure to Krishna's senses is called love. Therefore, atoev kam preme bohuto antar kam andhotamo prem nirmal bhaskar. Therefore, there is a gulf of difference between lust and love. Lust is the deepest region of darkness, whereas love is brilliant as the sun. They are completely opposite. Therefore, there is no room for this perverted reflection. When there is the reality, real thing is there, then the reflection cannot be there. When the light is there, can there be darkness? Krishna Surya Samo Maya Hoy Andhokar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Odhikar. Krishna is like the sun and Maya is like darkness, andhakar. Wherever there is sun, there is no possibility of darkness to be there. Darkness is immediately. So similarly, when one becomes exposed to proper Krishna consciousness and develops his love for Krishna, then there is no room for lust. Lust automatically disappears. When one practices Krishna consciousness properly,
this tendency for self-gratification automatically disappears. Because Krishna consciousness inundates our heart. Our loving relationship and loving exchange with Krishna inundates the heart in such a wonderful way that there is no room for any other desire for gratifying our senses and derive any pleasure out of that. So Prabhupada was very emphatic. In second canto, Prabhupada even said that until and unless one becomes completely free from sex desire, one should not try to enter into Krishna's pastimes. So Krishna Prabhupada gave that warning that when you enter into Krishna's intimate activities, intimate dealing with the residents of Vrindavan, you become free from sense-gratifying tendencies. Try to understand that there is no enjoyment in the material. People in ignorance run after sex desire, thinking that that is the highest form of enjoyment. But that is actually the highest form of suffering. That is the most painful experience that a man can ever experience. But due to Maya, he thinks that the painful condition is pleasing. It is necessary only for the sake of procreation. That's why Brahma gave some, it is necessary. That act is necessary for procreation. Therefore Brahma gave some pleasure. Otherwise man would not indulge in it. But today what is happening? Everyone is running after that momentary pleasure that comes out of that experience, and they are just absorbed in illicit sex. And illicit sex means any sex life outside of, without the purpose of procreation, is illicit sex according to God. Sex life is meant only for procreation. Even animals indulge in sex life only for the sake of procreation, not for anything. Now today what is happening in today's world, in so-called civilized world, man has become even more degraded than animals. But again Prabhupada said that Krishna's pastimes are so wonderful that just by hearing them, we will become free from sexism. So that is why Krishna's pastimes are necessary, to enter into Krishna's pastimes, delve in Krishna's pastimes. Discuss about Krishna. That's why even before going further in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada gave Krishna. The wonderful thing about Krishna book, although it's the 10th canto, Prabhupada time and time again said that don't jump into the 10th canto. But Prabhupada himself gave Krishna book the 10th canto. The wonderful thing about Krishna book is, Krishna book is 10th canto with Prabhupada's purpose. So the understanding becomes clear. When you read Krishna book, we study the 10th canto with Srila Prabhupada's purpose. So anyway, before going any further, I thought that I will just repeat these warnings from Srila Prabhupada. The point is that Krishna's pastimes with his most intimate devotees in Vrindavan is so wonderful that when we properly relish them, when we properly appreciate them, then we will become free from any material attachments. We will become free from all material attachments and all sense-gratifying tendencies. So thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? The questions I mentioned will come in the form of written question. Does anybody have any written question?
Okay, so this way. Yeah, you want to make some announcement?
Go ahead.
Anima Mohan. Okay, actually yesterday there were so many questions that I had to drag the question answer session to the next session. So, nice, I like that. I like to get questions, and that makes it interesting. Now this question is, in Ramlila, one demon named Kalnemi was killed by Hanuman, and another Kalnemi who came as Kamsa, are they same personality? Yes, that same Kalnemi appeared as Kamsa. That Kalnemi is the son of Hiranyaksha. Yesterday you told that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Then did Radharani unite with Vasudev Krishna in Kurukshetra and Bindu Sarovar? Yes. The Krishna that Radharani met during Kurukshetra, during the solar eclipse, is actually Vasudev Krishna. But that Vasudev Krishna then became Jagannath. So Jagannath is Krishna of Dwarka who wants to go to Vrindavan. Krishna of Dwarka who wants to go to Vrindavan. So Jagannath is both Vasudev Krishna from one perspective and Brajendranandan Krishna from another perspective. At some places, it is written that Krishna left Vrindavan at the age of 11. Once His Holiness Loknath Swami Maharaj also described it. But in that case, how Koishor Leela 15 will be manifested. Actually, Bhagavatam is describing that Krishna left Vrindavan at the age of 12. Can we consider just equal? And at the age of 12, He left Vrindavan. So, anyway, that also falls in the Koishor Leela. And part of killing Kamsa also then is Krishna, part of Koishor Leela. Why is it so difficult, even after hearing repeatedly from senior Vaishnavas and Guru, to do away with our material desire? Keep practicing. The question, did everybody hear? Why is it so difficult, even after hearing repeatedly from senior Vaishnavas and Guru, to do away with our material desire? This question is from Tulasi Manjari. So, that is because we have so many years of habits, bad habits. Will the bad habit go away overnight? It'll take some time. If somebody has a chronic disease, the doctor gives him time to cure that disease. Small disease disappear, just one day's medicine. But big disease takes a long time to get cured. And this is the worst kind of disease, called Havaro. So that's why it'll take some time. But keep taking the medicine. What is the medicine? The medicine is Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. There's a long question. Let's see. There is no information to me that bhajan daily recited by Ajamil for long 14 years at Haridwar, or bhajan recited by Khar Bhang from short duration. Uh, In this context, there are many available in Bhagavatam and other literature. For example, Kunti. Anyway, I think your question is that for some devotees it takes a long time, some devotees it takes a short time to get purified. Well, it is up to the person's previous samskar, and it is the effectivity of his practicing the process. But how long does it take, it doesn't matter. Just keep on practicing and the result will be there. Regarding Krishna's appearance, why in this Divya Yuga does Treta Yuga come before Dwapar Yuga? Atul Krishna. Okay. The main reason actually is that after Krishna's pastime, the question actually is that why in this particular Chatur Yuga, Dwapar Yuga comes after Treta Yuga? Or rather, Treta Yuga goes before Dwapar Yuga. That because generally the sequence is Satya, Dwapar, Treta, Kali. From the name itself we can see Satya Yuga, Dwapar means the second one, Treta means the third one, and then Kali means the age of quarrel, age of fight. So the question is, why in this particular age Treta Yuga comes before Dwapar Yuga? The main reason actually is that Krishna will come and perform his Dvaipraja Leela towards the end of Dwapar, which is an unusual display, because Krishna's Braja Leela is a very, very special pastime. And the another special prerogative or special aspect of Braja Leela is that one cannot enter into Vrindavan by performing Vaidhi. Rather, performing devotees will render devotional service by through performing Vaidhi Bhakti. And by performing Vaidhi Bhakti, they will go to Vaikuntha when they achieve their perfection. And from Vaikuntha, one cannot have access to Vrindavan. You cannot go from Vaikuntha to Vrindavan. Like Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami is describing that very nicely. That Gop Kumar went all the way up to Dwarka. But Narad Muni, when he saw that he was still dissatisfied, Narad Muni told him, "Oh, I can see that your attachment to Krishna is in Vrindavan. You cannot go to Vrindavan from here. So go back to the earth planet, in home of Vrindavan. And there you perform Sankirtan, meaning chanting the holy name of the Lord with all the love of your heart. And then only you will be able to enter into Vrindavan." So, we can see that from Vaidhi Bhakti, one will go to Vaikuntha, and from Vaikuntha there is no access to Vrindavan. And devotee will always render devotional service following Vaidhi Bhakti. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Vidhing, Vina, Oikantiki, Harir Bhakti, Utpatoiva Bhakti. If one does not follow the Vidhi, rules and regulations of the scriptures, even his very sincere and earnest devotional display will simply create disturbance to the society. So, now, the point here is that one cannot enter into Vrindavan by normal means. Therefore, after displaying the pastimes of Braja Leela, there was a need for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come and show the way of Sankirtan. Now here you think, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, following Vaidhi Bhakti, you will end up in Vaikuntha. But serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a devotee, following Vaidhi Bhakti, one will have access to Vrindavan. Therefore, there is a need for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna to come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and show the process. Another way we can approach that point is that Vaidhi Bhakti will lead to Vaikuntha. Raganuga Bhakti is the only way to enter into Vrindavan. Raganuga, definition of Raganuga Bhakti is following the footsteps of Braja Bhaktas. Those who are Ragatmika Bhaktas, loving devotees. Ragatmika. Rag Anuga, Ragatmika, following the Ragatmika Bhaktas is Raganuga. So Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna is actually playing the role of Srimati Radharani in this past. So when one is following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is she following? Who is he following? Following Srimati Radharani, the most exalted Ragatmika Bhakta of Vrindavan. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is naturally created. Through the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, it is automatically transformed into Raganuga. And this is the process. Now, this process could be established only in Kali Yuga. Therefore, Krishna made the arrangement to switch Dwapar and Treta. So that after Dwapar, after he shows his pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come. And it came in the form of a curse of a sage that he cursed Dwapar, Treta Yuga, that he will come after Dwapar. But apparently it was a curse by sage. But the real purpose of that is to give access to Vrindavan, appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the age of Kali. Krishna had made this arrangement. This question is in Hindi. Hare Krishna Maharaj, aapke charano mein dandavat pranam. Maharaj, abhi main Hari ke naam ka jap karta hoon aur mere ghar mein har devi devta ka photo hai. To is avastha mein main kya karu? Achha, aapka ghar mein jo mandir, ye prashna kiska hai? कौन किए है ये प्रश्न? एनीवे, सो द क्वेश्चन इज दैट आई एम चैंटिंग द होली नेम एंड एट माय होम आई हैव एन ऑल्टर वेयर दे हैव देयर आर मेनी पिक्चर्स ऑफ डेमिगॉड्स. सो व्हाट शुड आई डू? नाउ यू हैव टू डिसाइड. You want to make the altar as heavenly planet or Golok Vrindavan? If you want to make your altar as heavenly planet, you can keep the demigods' pictures there. But then what will happen? At the end of your life, when you achieve perfection, you will go to heavenly planet at the most. But if you want to go to Vrindavan, then what should you do? You just install Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu and Radha Krishna. So, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, who are you worshipping? Through Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Hare Krishna Mahamantra jap karke aap isko puja kar rahe hain. Dev Deviyo ka puja kar rahe hain? Ya Bhagwan Shri Krishna ka puja kar rahe hain? Agar Krishna ka puja ho raha hai, तो कृष्ण का पिक्चर या कृष्ण का मूर्ति वहां रख. और देव देवी असल में कौन है? सब देव देवी कृष्ण का दास और दासी है.
और अगर वो देखेंगे कि कृष्ण का पूजा हो रहा है तो वो लोग बहुत खुशी होंगे, आपके प्रति बहुत प्रसन्न होंगे। एज यू टोल्ड बिफोर एंटरिंग इन टू कृष्णस कृष्ण कथा, we reading Krishna's pastime, we should be free from sex desire. And you also mentioned by hearing Krishna's pastime, one become free from sex desire. This question is from Jitendra. Who is Jitendra? His question is this. Okay. Yeah. So the point is, you know, as I mentioned, Krishna gave, Prabhupada gave the warning, at the same time Prabhupada gave the myth, the access. He gave the Krishna. So, that's why when we are entering into Krishna's pastimes or discussing about Krishna's pastimes, we should remember that we must become free from any tendency for sense gratification. Right? We are simply entering into Krishna's pastimes to appreciate Krishna's wonderful qualities and develop our attachment to Krishna. Meaning, we must be very, very concerned that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We must be completely convinced about it. Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna's dealing with the gopis is not a young boy's dealing with some young unmarried girls. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are his most intimate pastimes. So we must approach them very, very carefully, with a heart full of respect and reverence. Okay, Nanda Dulal Gaur Das, who is that? Very good. So the question is, I wanted to know how many years Krishna and Radharani did their pastimes here in this world, and who disappeared first, Krishna or Radharani? Krishna performed his pastimes for about 156 years. Krishna was 120 years old during the Battle of Kurukshetra. And after the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthir reigned for 36 years. Right? And that is the time when Krishna disappeared. When Krishna disappeared, then Yudhishthir Maharaj left home for Mahaprasthan. And when the news came, when the gopis received that news of Krishna withdrawing his pastime, then they also left. So Radharani, Krishna left first and then Radharani. Okay. Then another one. In Vrindavan, we see Grantha Samadhi. So, what is Grantha Samadhi? Well, some of the books of the Goswamis, they are kept in a Samadhi, as if they are personalities and they have gone in Samadhi. Okay? So many questions. Okay, we have plenty of time today. Let me see how many I can handle today. Online question. From Jayanta, England, UK. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjun was not sure of victory. Is this because he did not realize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Well, Arjun is a pure devotee of Krishna. Therefore, Arjun always has the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prabhupada mentioned that before the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjun became bewildered or over affected or overwhelmed by the arrangement of Jogamaya. And that is how Arjun behaved. So as if like an ordinary person, Arjun was wondering whether he will win or not. But then again, the another consideration is that as a Kshatriya, Arjun never thought that he may lose. The Kshatriya never thinks that he will lose. Kshatriya always thinks that he is going to win. So Arjun was convinced that he will win the battle. Arjun was not afraid. So it's not that at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjun became afraid and he wanted to run away from the battlefield. No, that's not the case. Arjun always was sure about his victory. But what Arjun didn't want to do at the beginning of battle of Kurukshetra, to kill all his relatives and friends. That he didn't want to do. He didn't want to kill his relatives and friends for the sake of trivial kingdom. This question is, in your Krishna Samhita lecture, you mentioned that Shakatasura is representing a tendency of carrying unnecessary burden. Then how is it that Dhenukasura also represents the same? I actually didn't read the Krishna Samhita for a long time. So I don't really quite clearly remember what was Shakatasura was standing for. But Dhenukasura is, as I mentioned, the tendency to carry unnecessary burden of our fruitive activities. But when we surrender to Krishna, then what happens to our karma? What happens to our fruitive activities? Aham tvam sarva papibhyo mokshesham. And how does that happen? That happens by the mercy of the spiritual master who is a representative of Balaram. Although we try to fix our mind on Krishna, it naturally flows towards material desires and attachment. How can we develop spontaneous attraction 24 hours a day towards Krishna? The question is from Krishna Chandas. Well, as I mentioned earlier, that if we develop some bad habits, we won't be able to get rid of that habit overnight. It will take time. And it will need sincere, prolonged, sincere practice. So keep on practicing. Then the result will be there. Now, Sri Krishna ji, Sri Krishna bhi Bal Leelao mein Acha. So this question is in Hindi. Shri Krishna ki Bal Leelao ki upar ye prashna man mein aata hai ki itni pyari divya leelao se ye bhav utpann hua कि हमारे संप्रदाय में भगवान श्री कृष्ण जी श्री कृष्ण की बाल रूप में पूजा क्यों नहीं की जाती है. इसका कारण ये है कि श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु, अच्छा ये प्रश्न है गोपांगना देवीदास जी, गोपांगना, वेर इज गोपांगना? प्रश्न करके चले गए. ओके. Anyway, then I'll answer the question in English. The question is that Krishna's Bal Leela, Krishna's childhood pastimes are so attractive. And so I developed this question then, why we do not worship Krishna in his childhood form, Bal Gopal. The answer is that we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of serving Krishna is in Madhurjavya. Madhurjavya, conjugal. So that is Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, especially Srimati Radha. So since we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore we are in Krishna's jugal kishor. In your previous lecture, you told that Dhenukasura symbolizes deception. I never said that, Jayashtas. When did I say that? Dhenukasura, deception. Pralambasura is deception, not Dhenukasura. Where is Jayesh? When did I say that I said Dhenukasura is deception? No. Pralambasura is deception. Anyway, don't go into that. It's not necessary. Just get into Krishna's pastimes and the rest will automatically. If children of devotees do not become Krishna conscious or deviate from Krishna consciousness, what will happen to their parents? Will they not be allowed to enter Golok? It depends how attached you are to your children. If you are too attached to your children, and at the time of leaving your body, if you think of your children, then yes, you won't be able to go to Golok. You'll have to come back here, where your children are. But if your children become pure devotees, and at the time of your death, you think of your children, then you may go back to Golok. There is a Bengali question. Jashoda Mata ek putro ek konna labh korechilen Bhagavat 10.4.9 ebong Devaki ek putro labh korechilen. Tahole arekjon Krishna kothay? Oi dui Krishna ek hoye geche. Jashodanandan Krishna ar Vasudev Krishna merged. Actually Vasudev Krishna also is a part of Jashodanandan Krishna. And not only Vasudev Krishna, all the incarnations are also in that body of Krishna. Some people say that Haridas Thakur is incarnation of Lord Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. My question is if it is right or not. Purna Prabhadas. In Kali Yuga, Brahma came as Haridas Thakur. So you become concerned about that. Prahlad Maharaj, I never found that Prahlad Maharaj is an incarnation of Brahma. Oh, okay. So you meant Haridas Thakur is an incarnation of Prahlad. Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj. Yeah. A part of Prahlad, part of Haridas Thakur is also an incarnation of Prahlad. Yeah, that is true. How can we practically develop loving relationship with Krishna? And what are the symptoms of a devotee developing love with Krishna? Ramananda Das. How can you practically develop loving relationship with Krishna? What are you practicing to develop it practically? What are you doing? Chant Hare Krishna. Wow. Following the four regulative principles in the association of people, render service to Krishna. And this is the way you will develop your love for Krishna, loving relationship. What are the symptoms of devotee developing love with Krishna? They always think of, the symptom is When you love somebody, what happens? You always think of that person. So when you fall in love with Krishna, then you'll always think about Krishna and you'll always try to please him and serve him. Okay, the next question is, world's big religions like Islam and Christianity are not that strict about self-control, material desires. What will be their destination? Will they enter spiritual world? The question is from Tota Gopinath Das. Tota Gopinath Das? Okay. Very good. You see, like, sense gratification means attachment to material nature. Right? So, if one is attached to the material nature, he will never be able to go to the spiritual world. At the most, they will go to some higher planetary system where they will have some greater sense gratification, if they are pious. But unfortunately, in the name of those two religions, they are indulging in all kinds of impious activities. Like they are killing cows, they are torturing the Brahminical culture. So, most of them will not even be elevated to a higher planetary system. Most of them will suffer the consequence of their sinful activities. I just received a very unfortunate news, very sad news, that our god brother Gopi Paranathana Prabhu, who is very scholarly, who is to live in Vrindavan, who actually translated the Brihad Bhagavatamritam and who translated the 10th canto and 11th canto and 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, very, very qualified devotee, very scholarly devotee. He passed away this morning at 9 a.m. So I just received the news that at 9 a.m. at Sri Govardhan, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, His Grace Gopi Paranathana Prabhu passed away because of asthma attack. He had this sickness from his childhood. He had asthma. Very sad news. So let us chant for his departed soul that Krishna showers his mercy upon him. Prabhupada will naturally take care of him. He was so qualified. He was such a wonderful devotee. So it's a great loss for all of us.